So tonight we have some really good news from that gospel. And I was thinking about that in relationship to something that Pope Francis said yesterday. He is on his way to an island, I think tomorrow, to visit some of the folks that are refugees coming in from various parts of Africa. And they come in through this island into Europe, and it's rough. And some of them actually lost their lives. And so he's going out in a little fisherman's boat tomorrow, I think it is, and lay a reef and then say mass at that camp for those folks. But yesterday, last night, he was speaking to seminarians and people who are preparing, getting close to ordination. And he said this to them, and it's right out of this gospel today. And I think, well, let me tell you what he says first, then I'll tell you what I think. He says, said to these folks, don't be so serious. If you have a long, sad face all the time, you probably can leave. And then he said, Buenos dias. I thought, whoa, how about that? If our lives are about the proclamation of God's word, and we're miserable people, what are we saying? I say to you, lots of luck, buenos dias, goodbye. And I just think that that's such a wonderful thing for us to think about today. Not just this man Francis, who I think is giving an example for leadership. Certainly not just for the papacy. I think he's giving leadership for everyone that's involved in leadership today. He's an extraordinary man. And he has such a care for people who have so far less. And he's bringing a joy and a spirit to our church that is in such desperate need of that. So my sisters and brothers, tonight, we look at that gospel. And it's the gospel of 72 men and women sent by our Lord to go out to the very corners of the earth. It goes, he said, to all the extremities of the then known world where he would then somehow finally go. And they were to bring that good word. And what was the response? The response was when they came back, the scriptures say, rejoicing. Rejoicing because he said to them, you have nothing to fear. Isn't that a good word? Don't all of us need to hear that word as we begin this week? You have nothing to fear. That's what Jesus said to those 72. Nothing to fear. So whatever befalls you this week, whatever circumstances you have, whatever tough things you have to face, you have nothing to fear. If you're following Jesus Christ, if you're one of those people who are the emissaries of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. And when we come back at the end of a long week, we should come back as they do, rejoicing. We come back with sour faces and big struggles and our shoulders are all drooped over because it's been woe is me, then get out of the business. Buenos dias. Goodbye. We come with that fervor. So here's the story. It's a true story. We're going to Africa, some 17 of us, on Saturday night, and you're leaving on Sunday, is that right? Okay, Saturday night and Sunday. We're heading to our great journey to that wonderful land, to those great people. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. So I thought a good African story would set that up. It's about an African king, true story, who conquered the territory of the tribe of Kasina, a powerful and shrewd tribe. Each year, the king extracted a tribute from that tribe, the Kasina tribe, and would send a messenger to collect his little piece of the action. One year, the story says, the king made a mistake of sending his son, his only heir, to collect the tribute. When the people of the Cusina tribe saw the prince and the small entourage that circled him, they overpowered them and they made the prince, his heir, a hostage. They stripped the prince of his fine robes. He was given one meal a day. He was sent to work in the fields every morning. The sight of the royal heir digging in the fields made him an object of derision among the people of the Cusina tribe. But the prince made no protest. He did not try to escape. In fact, as he worked, he sang. He sang loudly and happily as his back bent to the hoe from sun up to sundown. His soft hands soon blistered and bled from hard work. He lost weight and he staggered each day with exhaustion. But the prince continued to sing. The elders of the Cusina were troubled by his singing and disconcerted by this positive attitude. How can it be possibly done? How could he sing? We make him sleep on the ground. We give him little food. We force him to do back-breaking work, work that he's never done before. Our wives and children mock him. Why does he sing? And so the elders finally summoned the prince. He stood in his loincloth, straight and proud, before the council. The chief elder asked the prince, "Why do you sing?" The prince answered, "Yes. You've taken away my fine clothes. You forced me to work long and hard days. You give me very little to eat. And you make me sleep on hard ground. You've taken away my pride and all my earthly possessions. You have brought me to shame, but I can sing. I can sing because you cannot take away who I am. I sing because I am son of the king. I sing because I'm the son of the king. Despite your treatment of me, my dignity remains, and so I sing. I sing with gratitude. I sing with joy. I sing with hope." My sisters and brothers, whatever befalls us, whatever our journey, let no one take from us the one singular gift of each of these Gospels, the one message that we reiterate week after week after week. My brothers and sisters, you and I are sons and daughters of the King. And because we're sons and daughters, we do not need to fear. Even though there will be circumstances and people and places and events that somehow can almost take us down, we can continue to sing. And if we don't, shame on us. We are sons and daughters of the King. Let no one take that from you. The only way that's taken from you is if you surrender it. It is given to us. It's our divine gift from our God. And so, my sisters and brothers, we link, you and I, with the 72 disciples that went out, men and women who went out and preached a singular gospel to the people of the time of Jesus Christ. That this Son of God came to tell us we too are sons and daughters. We are loved by our God as much as our God loves His only Son. We are loved in the same way as God loved His only Son. And so we link our hands and our arms with generation after generation after generation. And we cannot break that chain. Shame on us if we do. If your sons and your daughters have not heard from you that they are sons and daughters of the King, then we break that chain. It cannot be. We are linked with them and we pay it forward. We have to be those new disciples, those new 72 who go out and tell our friends, our children, and our children's children that they are sons and daughters of the King. But there's one more message. I found it from this great Indian poet, Tagore. And I leave you with this thought today. He said, I slept and I dreamt. Life was joy. I awake and I saw life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. Let me repeat. I slept and dreamt life was joy. I awake and I saw life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. Oh, my sisters and brothers, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us a great mission. We are sons and daughters of the King. But if we are to be that son or daughter, one thing is required of us. What's required of us, in one word, is service. That's what's required. Yes, it's important to coddle our families. Yes, it's important to hold them tightly. Yes, it's important to take good care of whatever God has given to us, and we must hold it tight. But my brothers and sisters, it's not enough. Jesus Christ came and said to each one of us, I blessed you. You're my son, you're my daughter. You must go out and you must be of service. If you are to be like the Son that I gave to this world, then you must be like Him. And His singular gift to each one of us was His care for the poor, His care for people who had been pushed aside and disadvantaged and thought ill of. That was His gift. Sisters and brothers, it's not enough to just hold tight. We must be concerned with an eye of Jesus Christ to those who we meet. We've got a man in this church. I will not identify him. But he was just sworn into a big office in this great city. And we prayed together before that happened. And then he said, Monsignor, what I want you to do is to swear me in a second time. I hope it wasn't illegal, but I didn't. And the prayer he used was the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. How do you come to that? You get a big job. How do you remember? How do you hold that? Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Oh, my sisters and brothers, we've been given a precious gift. Don't let anyone take that from you. And on the other hand, share that gift. Amen. So, thank you.